Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 40, and it's Cowboys Week. And the Steelers come in 4-4 and now are a half game behind in the AFC North as the Ravens took care of the Cleveland Browns yesterday, sent the Browns into an 0-10 start of the season. And Dave, Well, I don't know if it's surprising. I guess a little bit surprising news that we hear that D'Angelo Williams had meniscus surgery on Wednesday. And this is probably we haven't gotten a lot of details in terms of a trim or exactly what kind of what the surgery was in terms of the extent of the surgery. But this is the type of thing that might end up meaning that D'Angelo Williams has played his last down as a Pittsburgh Steeler. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, probably not overly surprising, being as how this knee has bothered him for several weeks now, going back before the bye week. And, you know, he sat out the game against who? The New England Patriots, and then obviously didn't practice the first two days this week. Now the question becomes, you know, how long a rehab actually will it be for him? We don't know. The thing is, the Steelers have some flexibility on the back end of their 53-man roster if they want to carry him a couple of weeks to see how he progresses. D'Angelo Williams has had some minor injuries, you know, during his career in the past. So, you know, I think it comes down to whether or not they think that, you know, when they think they can actually get him back, and you know, and what kind of running back they'll have when they do get him back. I mean, he is up there in age, obviously. But, you know, you go back to the first several games of the season, he played well. You know, I don't think we'll see a move within the next couple of weeks with D'Angelo Williams. We'll probably see how he responds from this thing. And, you know, right now I would place my bet that they'll keep him around for right now, and then, you know, just go from there. I mean, obviously there's no guarantee he'll be able to bounce back from this, but that would be my bet.
Yeah, I don't expect them to make the move this week, but they will make a roster move. I'm not 100% sure, but I don't know that everybody agrees with me, but I expect them to activate Ladarius Green on Saturday. And that will mean somebody, whether it's, you know, Rosie Nix or Kobe Hamilton or Al Shabazz or somebody, is likely to get waived. And
what about, you know, why not Grimble? Well, I mean, why?
Sure. Could be Grimble too. You know, there are a lot of candidates. So that may mean Williams gets the opportunity to stick around for a week or two. The situation, more likely, the issue is over the next 2-3 weeks, you know, if Le'Veon Bell gets a little dinged up or Fitz Toussaint gets a little dinged up, well, then they're going to have to bring Darrell Richardson or Carlos Williams up from the practice squad. And then the question is, you know, would you do like for like and put D. Will on the IR? My guess is we will not see him play as a Steeler again. And because, the injury, obviously, the pounding that you're going to take as Ben Roethlisberger versus D'Angelo Williams is very different. And he has had, you know, let's be honest about it, he has had a very limited role with the team since week three, since really Le'Veon Bell came back. And they've never really been able to find another role for him. And I don't think they're necessarily looking for another role for him, because you've got, you know, arguably the best back in football. So, you know, it was odd that they brought him in for that one carry to start the second half on Sunday. I don't know if he further injured that knee or dinged it up a little bit more, but it was just kind of a weird sequence of events to just bring him in for that handoff, and that was pretty much it. So, look, the answer is, if Le'Veon Bell's healthy, this is not, you know, it's a non-issue. D'Angelo Williams doesn't bring you anything on special teams. It's not like Darrell Richardson or Carlos Williams is likely to bring you much on special teams either. So, you know, just a question, you know, with two roster moves expected over the next 2 weeks and Ladarius Green and Bud Dupree, will he survive, you know, that those two moves?
Well, the thing is, like I said, you got a lot of flexibility at the bottom end of your roster. I mean, you got guys like Jordan Dangerfield, Brian Mahalik, Shabazz, Grimble. I mean, you got a lot of guys that you can.
Hicks, Kobe Hamilton.
Kobe Hamilton.
Hicks. That's six guys right there, all of whom could go and not going to make any difference.
Right. And, you know, and plus, remember, when juggling a roster, you still have to have seven inactive players every week. So, you know, if they can stay healthy overall as a team and not get pushed for multiple needs at one singular position per se, and of course, you know, assuming Le'Veon Bell stays healthy and that kind of stuff. I'm not ready. I mean, is it possible D'Angelo Williams has played his last snap in a Steelers uniform? Absolutely, because, I mean, you're dealing with a knee injury in a skill position with a player that has to cut and, you know, a player that's up there in age on top of it. You'd be silly not to think that there's a possibility that he might not ever play a snap. But for right now, you know, I'm not going to go there and say that's definitely going to happen. You know, I think week-to-week type basis with him. Look, I mean, when D'Angelo is healthy and on the field, he can still do it all for you. I mean, pass protect, knows the offense, catch the ball out of the backfield, all those little things he can do. So, now the big mystery, of course, as you alluded to this, you know, heading into Saturday is – who and how, you know, who gets promotion to the 53-man roster? Ladarius Green would be the odds-on choice with running second behind that, probably either Carlos Williams or Darrell Richardson. You know, the Steelers have dressed only two running backs, healthy running backs, in the past, so it would lead you to believe that unless one of those two players, Richardson or Carlos Williams, were just absolute must-haves as far as special teams go, that you won't see either one of those two promoted on Saturday. And then the question becomes, you know, how healthy is Ladarius Green and what can he give you on Sunday? And, you know, we'll find out the answer to that, whether or not he's going to play by Saturday at 4:00 Eastern time.
Yeah, I if we're putting odds on it, I think it's 85-15 he's activated, and then we'll see who goes. And you know, it'll be interesting to see if it's not Xavier Grimble, then that's an endorsement of what they think his potential is. and it would be, you know, the four tight ends. So with Darius Heyward-Bey, you would think Kobe Hamilton's safe this week with Darius Heyward-Bey down. But, you know, they don't need to dress five receivers. They certainly could get through a game with four receivers. Dangerfield's injured, so, you know, it seems like to me like he's got a pretty good role in the offense. I would think the likely guys here. What are they carrying, Dave? Since they got rid of Cody Wallace to the IR, they only have eight offensive linemen, right?
Let's see. You got Hubbard, Finney are backups. You got Mahalik's a backup.
That's it. That's it, right?
And that should be it, right?
Yeah. So I don't think there's any chance Mahalik gets moved. I think he's safe. And, you know, I guess they could move Shabazz or, you know, they could move Justin Gilbert. I mean, you know, they chose to play Shabazz over Gilbert dress Shabazz over Gilbert in the other game. And Gilbert's still under contract. Maybe somebody pick him up off waivers, but they'd have to pay that contract for next year. So maybe, you know, it's not a name we brought up, but maybe Justin Gilbert's at risk.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Justin Gilbert. I think Justin Gilbert's way up the list as far as possibilities go. I mean, you really have to focus in more than anything on the younger players. You know, what about a guy like LJ Ford? I mean, that's a guy that you could. I mean,
Yep.
You know, how many
people? He didn't get a helmet over at Matakevich and Stevie Johnson, and, you know, so Stevie Johnson. You know, look, they could do Stevie Johnson for a game too. I mean, there are lots of things they can do, and as you said, and Alex said on Twitter, we talked about it last night. You know, lots of flexibility at the bottom there. I would think this week, the guys who are safe this week are Mahalik, because they're not going to go with less than eight offensive linemen, I wouldn't think, and because they've made an effort to get him back from Detroit as soon as they could. So I would think he's safe, and I would think Kobe Hamilton's probably safe with Darius Hayward-Bey's injury. So, yeah, anybody else that we mentioned, any of those six guys, wouldn't shock.
And don't forget about with Marcus Wheaton popping back up on the injury report on Thursday, that with that same shoulder evidently that's bothering him for all this season. Kobe Hamilton, I think he can go ahead and pay next month's rent. Right now, as far as that goes. The thing about Mahalik, though, is he's not dressing. That's the thing, and I think he's coming up. Has it been 3 weeks since he's been back? Because he's been claimed off waivers. You got to pay that 53 spot for 3 weeks. Now, if that's passed, I can't remember the exact date on it. Seems like it's been 3 weeks now. Seemed like he dressed the first two and didn't dress last week. So if push comes to shove, you could try to squeeze him through. Here's the only thing with him is he had some demand, talking about Mahalik, and is he a guy that somebody else teams out looking to start, looking for futures players? Maybe that's a guy you add, as a project to the 53 to see how you have moving forward. But really, I think we've covered the primary names here. You talk about LJ Fort, you talk about Grimble, you talk about Shabazz, who's been shuttled, a few times already. Those are your primary candidates, I think, initially, and then you move on to guys like Mahalik.
Yeah, and then they can put D'Angelo Williams on IR, and none of those guys will have to worry about it. So we'll see where it goes. The Wheaton thing's concerning to me, Dave. He practiced all of last week. He was a healthy scratch. He was not on the injury report on Wednesday, and then he's on the injury report as limited Thursday. You have to wonder if this is just a lost season for him, and A, it's costing him a lot of money, and B, it's hurting the Steelers because he is a guy you would think I would think we've seen it. Could step up and have a bigger role. So that was two disconcerting things coming out of practice yesterday.
Boy, 4 receptions, 51 yards and a touchdown. It's already a lost season when it comes to Wheaton.
I mean, that's an average game. I mean, you had a good day.
Look, I by no means thought Wheaton was going to go to the Pro Bowl this year. It was probably easy to maybe guess that he probably wasn't going to equal his receiving stats from last year either. But four receptions for 51 yards and a touchdown entering the second half of the season, that shoulder must be pretty banged up. And, they could use a guy like him actually this week, against the Cowboys, because you really have limited guys that you can play in that kind of that slot position. I mean, obviously it's going to be Eli Rogers this week, and they're going to need a big game out of him. But God forbid you should get Eli Rogers dinged up during the game. At that point, Kobe Hamilton's an outside guy. Sammy Coates is an outside guy. Of course, you can move Antonio Brown all over anywhere you want to. And we'll see about Ladarius Green. Boy, it sure would be nice to play him in one of those slot positions, and maybe go four wide a couple times during this game with those guys as well too. So a lot of question marks. When ahead of this season, I thought this receiving group would be a lot better, a lot more complementary to a guy like Antonio Brown. But as we mentioned on I think the last show, when you have Jesse James, the third leading receiver on your team right now, behind Le'Veon Bell, who's missed the first three games of the season, that's concerning right now.
Yeah, and I just lost my train of thought on what I was going to bring up about the receivers. But, how about this? This had never crossed my mind, and I don't know where Charlie came up with this, but he threw out on the postgame show that he wouldn't be surprised if somewhere down the way, on the way here, DeMarcus Ayers was activated. I've not heard anything about him. That's the first time I thought about him probably since I looked at the practice squad 4 weeks ago. Of course, the seventh round pick, punt returner out of Houston, and a guy who could work out of the slot. And he did some things in training camp they liked for sure. They kept him around. But he's not a name that I've heard anybody discuss, but I'll just mention that because, Charlie threw it out there.
If DeMarcus Ayers gets promoted to the 53-man roster, we're going to be talking about draft.
on
a podcast, because there will be several situations that will have needed to have happened. Boy, that's a mouthful for me. If you get to a point where you need DeMarcus Ayers on your 53-man roster, that mean the guy.
Well, if Eli Rogers got hurt and Marcus Wheaton wasn't able to go for a period of time, that would be his pathway to get there. So, you know, unlikely, I think, but anyway.
I'd look to the street and see what you can get off of the street before having to go that route. But, DeMarcus Ayers just doesn't have the experience yet and really didn't show much, during the preseason. Didn't he get banged up a little bit during the preseason? When you look at a punt turn as punt returner option, a couple of double catches there, on some punts, I think, during the preseason. So, look, if we're talking, if in the next few weeks we're having more discussions about DeMarcus Ayers, I need to start brushing up on some draft talk here.
Yeah, I did have my first mock draft on the show. Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports Shutdown Corner was putting up his second one, and the last one he'll do before the calendar turns to 2017.
I hope he drafted an edge rusher.
He did. Kid out of Auburn. Took him, edge rusher out of Auburn. But what was interesting is, people were talking about the draft and coming in, there were, three or four guys who were quarterbacks who were candidates to go at the very top of the draft. I heard, somebody say a week ago, there might not be a quarterback taken in the first round. I'll tell you, there won't be a draft in my lifetime or your lifetime, Dave, that there isn't a quarterback taken in the first round. So that's just nonsense talk. And in fact, Eric had quarterbacks going 1 and 3. He had DeShone Kizer going 1, and he had the kid from North Carolina actually going 3, Mitch Trubisky, I think it is. And then he had DeShone Watson going toward the end of the first round and Brad Kaya kind of going, early in the second round. So, for what it's worth, there's your draft talk.
Let's hope that's the last draft talk we have to have for a few weeks.
I'll tell you, if they lose on Sunday, it's gonna. So, what did you think of the? I think these comments, the don't panic stuff, and like, look, I don't expect it. The guys say a lot of things, so not everything's going to be, the perfect line. But I just think that stuff's all, silly talk. Ben's follow me, don't panic. I mean, I'm not sure what else he's supposed to say, so I'm not necessarily being critical of it. It's just, just play better. How about that?
Don't tell me about the labor pains. Just show me the baby.
Yeah, play better.
Just play better. And boy, I guess now's perfect time to kind of recap the rest of the injury report here. Marcus, no real surprises, I don't think, coming out or what we knew coming out at a press conference. Jordan Dangerfield with that groin, probably unlikely to play, did not practice for a second consecutive day. Darius Heyward-Bey, who was on crutches still and in a boot at the early portion of the week, not practicing. Expect him to be one of the 7 inactives. Marquise Pouncey obviously didn't practice. It's not surprising, when you consider the fact that he had surgery to repair that dislocated thumb of his on his snapping hand earlier in the week. He said on Thursday that he's going to play, and you gotta believe him, and I hope he does, because there were some head bobbing issues along with some snap issues with B.J. Finney. Yes, not often you hear Ben Roethlisberger come out and, I don't want to say throw somebody up underneath the bus, but B.J. Finney has a couple of tire tracks on him right now that he's trying to wash off after what Ben had to say during his Tuesday interview on the weekly radio station there. So, and D'Angelo Williams, of course, was the fourth player not to practice. So 3 of those 4 guys are going to be on your inactive list. After being limited on Wednesday with his finger, Sammy Coates returned to practice fully on Thursday. That's a good sign there. Marcus Wheaton, who we already covered, showed up on the injury report as a new guy on Thursday, being limited. Boy, Mike Tomlin can't be happy about that one. And probably the real positive here is Ben Roethlisberger has practiced fully, whatever that means for him, with that knee both days this week. So, that's your injury report in a nutshell there.
Okay. And let me get our buddy Craig Oxane involved here. And with the mortgage process, sometimes it can be as daunting and challenging as spelling Roethlisberger. And we had one of our listeners, I have to say, as we talked about this on the last podcast, he wrote Roethlisberger and he got it wrong. So he knows who he is. But thanks for listening. That was very entertaining. That the challenge of spelling Roethlisberger was too daunting.
He had it like the sandwich, right?
A lot of people missed that E up front, R-O-E, and no E in his Roethlisberger. But let Craig Oxane guide you through the sometimes daunting mortgage process to help you score the home of your dreams, even in Baltimore or Dallas, as the case may be this week. If you're considering buying or refinancing a home now or in the future, please give Craig a call. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender that can help you achieve the dream of home ownership. You can call Craig at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. You can email him, craig@blackandgoldlending.com, or apply online. It's very easy, www.blackandgoldlending.com. First Advantage Mortgage Company, NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. And speaking of Baltimore, Dave, I really thought the Browns might win that game, and I haven't read any of the post game commentary from Hugh Jackson. But I didn't understand the bits changing your quarterback in the first half when Cody Kessler seemed to be doing just fine, and then he's standing on the sidelines in the second half.
Yeah, and I thought maybe this was a game that the Browns could keep close there, and you know, maybe limit the Ravens to about 17 or so points, and maybe steal one in the second half and get their first win, and that obviously didn't happen. Look, another game that they go into halftime and they had the lead, 7-6 lead there, and they come out in the second half. It doesn't appear, you know, to my knowledge, that Cody Kessler suffered any sort of injury. They get through that first series, talking about Cleveland in that second half, and then Hugh Jackson, who said that he really wasn't going to play quarterback games, I thought this past week, decided to play quarterback games and pulled him in favor of Josh McCown, and then it got worse. I mean, McCown threw a couple interceptions. Boy, you want to talk about Joe Thomas looked human-like.
I tweeted it. When do you see Joe Thomas get beat twice in the same half, let alone the same game, let alone the same season? I mean, or I should have done it the other way. When do you see him get beat twice the same season, let alone the same game, let alone the same half? Which happened last night.
He bled his own blood live on a nationally televised game, and that was rare. And Suggs is playing with, what, one bicep, right? I mean, and it wasn't just Suggs, I don't think, that got around him there. I think probably total in that game, I haven't charted this, I'm trying to go off of memory, I think Thomas gave up two sacks and like two hits or two pressures or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
it just came around the edge, Yeah, right, exactly.
And you don't see that kind of thing with him. But look, I mean, say what you will about the Ravens, I'm not overly impressed with their offense this year. They had their struggles in the first half of this game against Cleveland. Couldn't convert some red zone opportunities. Flacco wasn't sharp throwing the ball down the football field again, but once they started using the underneath stuff to Mike Wallace and Smith and all that stuff and getting some short fields to work on, they obviously scored there. But let me tell you, the Ravens defense is above average. I'll just leave it at that. You know, they have a defense that's, you know, kept them in some games, obviously, this year. And the offense, the Ravens offense, played good enough in the second half and did the things that they needed to do to win that game. And it ended up not being close at all.
Right, not close at all. Okay, Dave, so anyway, the going back to, you know, Ben's comments, okay, they are what they are. I don't know that there is a sense of panic. I don't sense any sense of panic amongst the Steelers. But if they lose this game, you know, then they're going to play Cleveland on the road, and all the issues that have happened so far on the road are going to be, you know, front and center. They will have lost four in a row. I don't think that's happened too many times. I know they started the season, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, 0-4, but I don't think there have been too many four-game losing streaks. They're going to play a good football team on Sunday, and I think people are the people who think the Steelers are going to win are just relying on the fact that the Steelers are a good football team that are getting healthy, that have played well at home. This is going to be an interesting game, and I think for me, you want just one thing to think about and focus on. Well, two things. I'll give you one on each side of the ball. One is just how does Ben Roethlisberger play? I think it's going to be, fascinating either way. If he's good again, it's going to be, wow, you know, he continues to be great at home. Why can't he do it on the road? But, you know, he is really good at home and beat another good football team. And if he doesn't, it's going to be, wow, are we seeing, what's up with Ben? Because, you know, he's full at practice. This is not an injury situation. It'll be his second week back. It's not a rust situation. He didn't sit out forever. You know, he had a bye week and he missed a game. So shouldn't be that issue. I think it would be cause for concern. Let's put it that way. It would be cause for concern if he has another poor game. And then on the defensive side, it's what does Keith Butler do tactically? Is it sell out to stop the run and, you know, try to, you know, Cole Beasley is a very underrated receiver and everybody knows about Dez. So do you sell out and try and against his offensive line and try and stop the run? Do you bring a guy down in the box and focus on that? Or do you try to bring pressure against a really good offensive line, which is going to be difficult? I think it's a daunting challenge for Keith Butler to think about how to stop this offense.
I think you need to play 13 guys.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good because then you could cover Witten and Beasley, and you could have a 9-man box.
David, I went back this morning and rewatched the Cowboys game against the Browns. And in total, I think this past week I rewatched three games of the Cowboys from this season. You remember how Hank Stram, the famous quote from Hank Stram, just matriculate the football down the field, boys. You know, that's exactly what they do. Go back and look at their touchdown drives so far this season. I think all but over half of them I know have been more than 10 plays, okay? They matriculate the football down the field wherever they start, wherever you want to let them start having possessions from. They do it. They run a lot. They'll run a lot of just only two wide receiver formations. So they will stack that line across with five, you know, they'll have seven guys on that offensive line, okay? And they'll just, you know, it's coming. You know, they'll run inside zone, they'll run outside zone, they'll run split zone. They'll pull Travis Frederick from the center position. They'll pull guards either way. They'll run counters either way. And not just with Ezekiel Elliott. They'll run it with Alfred Morris as well, too. And just when you think that you're set on the run, They'll play action and roll Dak out to the opposite, to the weak side, and have him just toss it to a guy like Beasley or Jason Witten on the run. They'll pitch out to either side, and you know even when you get them in situations where it's second and eight and maybe second and ten. They do a good job of maybe staying balanced and committing to a run on second in those situations, or they'll run the quick slant to Beasley or run him up underneath or just have Jason Witten sit down underneath. It's phenomenal to watch this offense in action, and you got to keep them off the field for starters. You better have if we're talking about a Steelers win on Monday, I think it's going to include us talking about, boy, Ryan Shazier had 15 total tackles in this game. Five of them went for loss in this game. He forced a turnover in this game because that's the kind of effort that it's going to take, because if you let that offense stay on schedule with Ezekiel Elliott getting 4, 5, 6, 7 yards at a time, it's going to make for a long day, because you go back talking about that game against the Browns, they just wore the Browns defense down to a nub, how do you defend this? You're going to see a lot of base defense on the field for the Steelers on Sunday. Now, I'm going to ask you, assuming that you're going to see 65, maybe even 70% base defense out of the Steelers on Sunday, Who do you want as your corner on the outside defending against some of these backside runs that the Cowboys like and Elliott does? Would you rather have Artie Burns out there, or would you rather have William Gay out there?
Well, I mean, you got two things going on here. I mean, look, well, William Gay's better at it at this point. Artie Burns is going to have to learn to do it sooner or later. It'll be interesting to see if Cockrell has any kind of role in following Dez Bryant or not, or as he did, you know, Brandon Marshall, and as he did A.J. Green. So that's one thing that I'll be interested to see.
The least of my worries is who lines up on Dez Bryant, and how crazy is that?
Yeah, well, only because, I mean, I do think the other two guys, Terrence Williams and, like I said, Cole Beasley, are better than people probably think. And obviously, Jason Witten's a big deal. One of my big concerns is the outside linebacker staying home on play action when they roll away, you know, misdirection type stuff. So those guys are going to have to stay home. So hopefully, you know, who's ever playing can set the edge and hold the edge so that Artie Burns is not a huge, you know, component in the run game, and that you know, Mike Mitchell and Robert Golden or Sean Davis, more importantly, maybe are able to get in there and help, you know, slow that down. Because I just, you know, I have bad flashbacks to like what happened in that Miami game and what happened in that Eagles game when all of a sudden, you know, guys are going for 5 yards a crack and you know, the Miami game and then the game after that, you know, New England, we saw in the second half, they kind of stayed with the run and you got a big back in LeGarrette Blount, and let's be real about this. Ezekiel Elliott's kind of on par with Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson. You know, he's probably not quite the receiver, but he can catch the ball in the backfield for sure. He's not quite the receiver, maybe the route runner that Le'Veon Bell is, but this guy he's a beast, and he went four in the draft for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, he's a power back. Every you know, he can get to the corner as well too. That's the thing that scares me, you know, a lot in this game as well too. And that's why I kind of throw out. Look, I understand Sean Davis is your future. I understand Artie Burns is your future. I'm not so sure I want to see either of those two guys play a lot of snaps in this game, David. I don't want any miscommunication breakdowns out there on Sunday. I would be more apt to, especially in base coverages, I'd be more apt to throw William Gay out there and to throw Robert Golden out there and take my chances that way. You know, if Artie Burns and look, I mean, that's what I would do. What are the Steelers going to do? You know, they've obviously, you draft a guy like Artie Burns and Sean Davis, you got to know Art Rooney too, once those guys on the field sooner rather than later. So we're probably going to end up seeing, you know, Artie play predominantly, you know, the predominant amount of snaps at corner, and we'll continue to probably see a rotation with Sean Davis and Robert Golden like we did last week against the Ravens. But You got to have some guys out on that edge in this game willing to come out and make those open field tackles, because I mean, you talked about these outside linebackers being able to set the edge. You got a guy in Tyron Smith on one side that's likely to throw Jarvis Jones around a couple times when he's in the game and close off that outside. And then you have a guy like Anthony Chiclo, probably going to see a predominant, you know, amount of snaps on the opposite side going against, and I hate to say Doug Freeze, their weakest link on their offensive line, because he's, you know, he's top 10 right tackle in the league. But, you know, there's nothing right now for us to be confident about the Steelers defense being able to shut down the Cowboys run game as a whole. They're going to have to show us on Sunday that, oh boy, did we underestimate, or at least to me, oh boy, did Dave underestimate this defense, because this offense, I mean, it's for real. And you know, every week we kind of make fun of Mike Tomlin. Oh boy, look at, there he goes overselling this team. But let me tell you, everything he said about the Cowboys on Tuesday is for real, because they're real and they're spectacular.
So the Steelers are going to have to win this game 30-24, right? I mean, it's they're going to miss two guys. Well, here's the thing. Now, I don't know because I don't remember Bob's addressing this specifically, but you've got, you know, the left guard and the left tackle, Tyron Smith and what's the guard's name, Dave? I'm drawing a blank.
Leary, right.
These guys did not practice Wednesday or Thursday, one with concussion, one with a back issue. I don't know the extent of these injuries, but I will tell you, if they're missing Tyron Smith, that is a huge he may be better than Joe Thomas. I mean, he might be the best left tackle in the game. And Leary has been, as you heard, more than capable filling in for Lael Collins, the guy from LSU who had the whole draft snafu last year and ended up signing with the Cowboys as a free agent. You know, you take away the left side of the line, that's a big equalizer. And you take away a starting corner and a starting safety. So, you know, this is where the Steelers are getting a break, maybe. They're relatively healthy. The Steelers are relatively healthy coming into this one. You know, it's going to be all these guys second game back and whatever you think. Look, Cam Hayward was kind of I don't want to say a complete non-factor, but he wasn't a dominant guy in that game against the Ravens. So he's going to be back for his second week. You would expect him to be better. You would expect, you know, Shazier played the full game finally against the Ravens. So he's back to 100%, it looks like. Marcus Gilbert gets another week back. You know, he didn't have a perfect game. He played okay, but he didn't have a perfect game against the Ravens. So all, you know, for a change, the health side of things maybe benefits the Steelers. But it would feel like they're going to have to score.
Well, here's the thing with Tyron Smith. He's been on their injury report, I think, going back to week four. You know, so
okay, so that's new. Yeah, that's new news to me. So maybe it's meaningless.
Right. I mean, he's been limited to full to none. Go back. You know, if you go back and look at you know their injury reports dating back, I think, to week four. Odds are good Tyron Smith's going to play. Now, when you talk about Ronald Leary's, their question mark this week. But and he's trending towards not playing because he hasn't practiced yet. He's in concussion protocol. We'll see if he can get out of that by Sunday. But when Joe Looney came in that game to replace Ronald Leary, you didn't notice. You know, I mean, you know, of course, this was against the Browns, but I think Joe Looney's a capable guy. Now, obviously, if Joe Looney is in there, he becomes the new weakest link that you're trying to exploit. But you better hope that you're trying to exploit that in second and nine and third and eight situations. You better keep them behind Chase. Here's something very interesting for you, David. When it comes to the Cowboys and starting games so far this season, they have had 16 total possessions so far this season, talking about their first two of every game, right? Okay.
Yep.
Their offensive unit has scored 11 times out of those 16 total possessions, with seven of those being touchdowns. So
yeah, I mean, look, you get off to good starts with that offense, and you can become a ball control offense, time of possession. I think on the season they've only punted 24 times. Steelers punted 9 times or 10 times, you know, however many times last week. They punted, you know, felt like 24 times. I mean, they've been dynamite. And, you know, the whole, you know, I hope the Steelers create a Tony Romo controversy by coming in and having a great game defensively. But, you know, that's what it's going to take.
And the Steelers need to match that start, because so far through their first eight games, the Steelers have scored just 3 times in their first two possessions, 16 total possessions. And as you can imagine, that ranks them toward near the bottom of the league. Can you remember
let's see if I can remember. It wasn't the Skins. I'm going to go through the games. It wasn't the Skins on the first possession. I don't think it was on the second possession. The Eagles, they might have gotten the field goal in their second possession.
Blocked field goal. Remember, first possession, blocked field goal, Eagles.
A blocked field goal. Okay. That wasn't game number two, though. So game number two was
Bengals.
Bengals, yeah, no, did they score in that game?
No, punt and then interception, first two drives.
Jesus. And then game three was another home game.
Game three was the Eagles.
Okay, so Eagles, right? They go to 2-1. I'm guessing it. You know, And the Jets, they didn't do anything. Kansas City, they scored every time they touched the ball. So they must have scored against Kansas City.
Well, their opening drive against Kansas City ended in a...
Then they had the interception. They had the fumble and the interception, right, on the next two drives. They created the fumble on the first play for KC, and then they got the interception on Jarvis on the next drive, right?
Kansas City, they punted their first drive. They scored a touchdown on their second drive after getting that fumble. Okay.
They scored again on the third drive after the interception.
Yeah, but I limited my study to the first two drives. So, okay, we know they had a score against KC in their first two drives. The game against the Jets, that should have been an easy one for you. Opening drive, right? You remember how that happened?
No, because I'm remembering that they scored all their points in the second half, so I don't remember the first.
The long touchdown to Sammy Coates down the right side, 75 yards.
Right, which was the same play they ran against Kansas City, and this time it went for a touchdown.
Okay, and their third score within the first two series of all their eight games came against Miami. Do you remember how that happened?
Miami.
Doesn't getting old suck?
I feel like there was a turnover.
Doesn't getting old suck?
I don't know that I would have had this when I was 16, but that game, all I can remember is down 7-6 and having the ball and Ben throwing the interception at the end of the first half, and William Gay dropping the potential pick six. Did they have another
DHB, that run, that long run?
Oh, yeah, the 60-yard run, right?
Okay.
Yeah, on the toss.
All right, so we know 60-something yards on DHB. We know
75
Sammy Coates. Now, where was the third touchdown? Who scored the third touchdown against which was actually their first touchdown within their first two possessions of a game against KC after that fumble? Who scored it and how?
Against Kansas City?
Yeah.
The Jesse James touchdown that in the back of the end zone. You had Xavier Grimble make a catch. So James was first, right? Was that the one they threw it into a crowd and James caught?
No, sir, absolutely not. It was Darius Heyward-Bey, 30. Hold on, man, I'll get you the distance here. What was the distance? Where am I? 31-yard pass from Roethlisberger.
What was that? I'm trying to remember because he had one called back that over the middle in one of those games. I'm trying to remember which one. Was that the one he caught on the sideline with? He kept his feet in, kind of fell backwards.
I'm trying to play it back through my head right now, but
kind of caught it right on the edge of the.
No, that was that blown. That was that blown coverage. Remember?
Oh, well, he goes across the middle, yeah, wide open, and yeah, walked into the end zone. Right, Wheaton caught the one against the sideline.
So there you go. Their three touchdowns this year in their first two drives have all been over explosive plays. Have been their shortest one was 31 yards. Okay, so we just took a long way of saying. This Steelers offense needs to get off to better starts within their first two drives. If they don't do this in this game, we could turn around after the first quarter and this be a 10-0 or 14-0 game. And boy, wouldn't the Cowboys love that, because you're going to get – you think you see ball control then, you're really going to see ball control at that point. David, the Steelers are, dating back to 2004, 36-8 when they score a touchdown on their opening possession. So – throw that one into the equation here as well too. They've got to start fast. They can't get themselves in a position where they've got to abandon whatever game plan, you know, or running game or what have you. And you know, when you talk, I guess it's time to really start. We've praised the Dallas offense enough here. I think we got people scared enough. When you attack that Dallas defense, you got a four-man front. You're going to have a lot of players that rotate into that four-man front. As you mentioned when we were talking about injuries, this is going to be a team without a cornerback in Claiborne, without a starting safety in Barry Church. But let me tell you, J.J. Wilcox came in and played, you know, good, I thought, or played well against the Browns as a whole. They have their cornerbacks, Brandon Carr, of course, plays in there now with Orlando Scandrick. Jones and J.J. Wilcox are your safeties here. It seems like in the game against the Browns, they played a lot of man across. They played a lot of two-deep safeties in here. The success that the Browns did have in that game, one of the explosive plays came with a running back lined up in a slot in a weird formation that had like three offensive linemen, and the Cowboys were just confused, and the running back ran right up the seam, and Kessler hit him for a big game. You're going to need a lot of these kind of 7 and 12 yard outs, I think, is the way you kind of attack this Cowboys defense early. And then you try to get those safeties to kind of cheat and widen out there. And then, obviously, you try to, you know, attack the middle of the field with guys like Eli Rogers, with guys like Antonio Brown, and maybe if you get a guy like Ladarius Green on the field for this game. Running the football, you know, you're just going to have to keep trying to bang away. I think they can run on them. I like their chances of running on them better than you know, the chances that they probably had against the Baltimore Ravens. Something we haven't seen Ben Roethlisberger do a lot of this year is this play action. You know, if you get any semblance of a running game going, you better start using that to your advantage and trying to freeze some of these guys in the secondary here. So it's no easy chore. Rod Marinelli has a good unit, and they'll rotate a lot of those guys. And look, that Sean Lee kid's pretty good still, right?
Yeah, Sean Lee can play.
I mean, he's a guy.
He got Todd Haley fired up. He's up for St. Clair boy, hometown.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that's all. And this is a Cowboys defense that's not afraid to send six on first and 10 in the first quarter. A little bit of a delayed blitz with Sean Lee and maybe Scandrick, okay? They'll do that on first and 10, and they'll damn sure come after you with six guys on third and 7 or 8 or whatever when they know you're going to pass. So they're not afraid to come after you and take their chances of leaving that secondary, you know, kind of vulnerable. And the thing about Cody Kessler is he just wasn't quick enough to pick up some of this stuff. So yeah, I think we'll circle all the way back now to kind of what you said. The Steelers need to score. They might, you know, this is episode 40 of season 7. They might need 40 points out of their offense. This is going to have to be one of those games I think would go, wow, this was a Ben Roethlisberger game. 5 touchdowns, didn't throw a pick, played on a short field or two. I think a lot of stars are going to have to line up just right, David.
I agree with you. And, Dave, you know, I'll just throw this out there before we get to our picks for the week. How many guys on this team, and let's, you know, without getting into kind of, you know, the Chris Hubbards, how many guys on this team have lived up to your expectations or exceeded them? I mean, I don't think there is a guy on the offense who has exceeded my expectations. You know, Le'Veon Bell's been limited. Okay, whatever. He's been good when he's been able to. But I wouldn't say anybody on the offensive line has, you know, kind of, you know, Ramon Foster, I think, has maybe been closest to, of the group to kind of being the guy we thought he was going to be. None of the receivers. I mean, you know, Coates hasn't really done it. He's made some plays. Rodgers hadn't done it. AB, he's off his pace for the past couple of years. Certainly not Ben. So, I mean, there's no, you know, not Jesse James, none of the other guys. I mean, they're all, you know, and then you go defense, and there's not a guy in the defense. I mean, almost by definition, there's not a guy on the defense that's done it. I mean, Cockrell, maybe. I mean, he's been adequate. It's just, there's not a guy you're saying, man, this guy, he's really showing it. He's bringing it, and it's crazy. I mean, Jordan Berry's the answer. And that tells you all you need to know of why this team's 4-4.
I was going to see if you got to let me name Jordan Berry. Is Jordan Berry your team MVP to this point? I mean, it sounds kind of silly, but I mean, is he?
T- he has played better than anybody else.
And that, he even had a 28 or 28-9 yard clunker to kind of kick off that game the other day. I mean, who is your offensive MVP right now?
It's going to be Le'Veon Bell at the end of the, you know, it's going to be Bell. It's not Ben, so it's Bell or Brown by definition, right?
Yeah, it's Bell or Brown for sure. Who's your defensive MVP?
Well, you know, it's going to be Shazier, I think, if he's able to stay on the field.
My questions are up until first half. I should have said first half MVP offense, first half MVP defense.
I guess it's Antonio Brown, and it's
Ross
Cockrell. I mean, he did shut down Marshall and AJ Green pretty well.
Cameron Hayward's not been bad for when, but he's missed a couple games. Can
I think he missed three games? Or how many did he miss? Two.
Two and a half, right?
Two and a half. It's tough to make it, you know, out of eight, you miss two and a half. That's kind of the same thing with Shazier, right? Miss three games, can't be MVP for eight game season.
It's a mess, right? I mean, where's
nobody's playing great.
Nobody's period. Playing great. No. And I mean, what's your faith in some of these backups right now? I mean, you know, Sean Davis has had his share of mistakes this year. Artie Burns. Yeah, you know, someone asked me on Twitter last night, how do I rate Artie Burns' play in that game against the Ravens? I think I said 6.743 on a scale of 1 to 10. I mean, yeah, he did, you know, did nice things.
Yeah, I thought Artie was okay for his first start. You know, it wasn't perfect, but I'm glad he's in there. Let's put it that way. I like the
decision. You have Keith Butler defending Anthony Ciccolo on Steelers Nation Radio this week saying – he's out there because he's not making mental mistakes.
Yeah, by the way, you want to talk about damning with faint praise and getting hit with a broomstick. I heard that, and I put that up on Twitter yesterday after I heard that. I said, you can't say it any softer than that.
He was asked.
He's in there because he's not screwing up.
He was asked about why Ciccolo played more snaps of the group, and he says, "Well,
because he's not screwing up.
Well, he's not making any mental mistakes. He's not out of position a whole lot. He's doing what we ask him to do. He's trying to do what we." And here's the thing: it goes from he's doing what we ask him to do. He's trying to do what we ask him to do. That sounds like me speaking.
I chuckled at that. And also Danny Smith saying that had they executed the onside kick, he guarantees it would have worked.
We know that we can count on him to be in the right position most of the time. Go back, for those that missed it, go back and read this quote that I transcribed of Keith Butler talking about Anthony Ciccolo. You got guys in Arthur Motes, highly intelligent dude, now playing less snaps than a guy like Anthony Ciccolo on that left side. And, it's a mess. Why this team didn't better address, and sure, I know they didn't. They went into this thinking they were going to have Bud Dupree. But in all fairness, David, how much do you think this team really thought they were going to get production-wise out of Bud Dupree? I mean, it's an honest question. How much do you think this team thought they were going to get out of Bud Dupree as in a level of production?
As soon as he's good to go, I'm giving him 40 snaps. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know what to expect. Hopefully he's better, but I don't expect him to be light years better than he was last year. And they didn't get a lot of production out of him last year. So, you know, he gets to work. Like I say, for Ladarius Green and Bud Dupree, Steelers need to win some games so that they're able to contribute in the playoffs and maybe be impactful.
I
think Ladarius Green, and I'll keep saying it, is going to be impactful.
I'm the bonehead that predicted the Steelers would go to and win the Super Bowl this year. I thought that the offense would be close to near that 30 point per average, per game. And I thought because of that, and because, you know, slightly increased play of the defense, you know, the defense would be a good, or the offense would be a good defense, and a defense would be marginally better because they have a couple of teams in some games by some throats. that hasn't happened. When you're relying on, they can't rely on this defense to win them games. They just can't. They're not. They don't have the talent right now to do that. So it's either Ben throws for 380 yards and four touchdowns, and then we talk about some fourth quarter sacks and turnovers that the Steelers defense has, or it's pretty much nothing. I kind of feel right now. But look. Make no mistake, this is a tough chore at Heinz Field, and outside of just the prognosticators in Vegas thinking that, you know, at home, Ben, this, that, and the other, there's no reason to think that. I mean, give me a legitimate reason why you think the Steelers can win this game.
Well, Vegas thinks they can win, and I think the Steelers can win because of the Cowboys' injuries. But I have to tell you, I am not optimistic. Let's make our picks. Let's get to it. All right. So I missed last night. I didn't know what you had.
Yeah, I had the Browns covering plus 7.5. I love those Thursday night road. I love those Thursday night road dogs costing me.
Exactly, costing you. That was the key phrase there. All right, let's roll through these. Pulling them up. Sorry, one second here.
I think we got Houston at Jacksonville to kick things off, right? Jacksonville at home favored by 2.5, right? Is that what you have first?
Okay, I will take Houston until Jacksonville plays well. I'm not going to take them. I mean, they've been terrible.
I'm going to go with Houston on the road to beat Jacksonville as well too. So,
okay, Kansas City +3 in Carolina. This is an interesting one. Kansas City 21-2 in their last 23. Who's playing quarterback?
Alex Smith.
Okay, I will take. I'll take the Panthers. What the hell? -3.
Yeah, betting public, I think smart money is going to end up being on Newton in this game. So my money is not as smart, but I'll follow it. So give me Carolina and lay the 3.
In that mock draft, my man Eric had Leonard Fournette going 8th to the Carolina Panthers. He would be a nice addition to that backfield with Cam Newton, wouldn't he?
Boom. They need some offensive line help too, don't they? Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, the Saints -3 at home against Denver. I'll take the Saints. Saints are playing, you know, their offense is as good as anybody's right now. That'll be a nice matchup, but I'll take the Saints.
Boy, is Talib going to play in this game? I forgot to look at that. Boy, hard to believe that the Broncos will lose a couple in a row here, right? I mean, they are playing on the road. I think they'll rebound in this one, so give me the Broncos. I'll take those points in the Broncos on the road against the Saints.
Jets -1.5 against the Rams. I think we're getting close to seeing Jared Goff, but the Rams are going to stare 8-8 in the face again. I still, for whatever reason, I like the Jets, although there is some inside internal issues now going on with that team, Muhammad Wilkerson and stuff. Ooh, but I'll take the Jets -1.5.
Yeah, I'll take the Jets as well to cover at home in this one.
Eagles in a bit of a free fall. They're getting to at home to the Falcons. And I'm going to get back on the Falcons bandwagon here and look for another big game from Julio Jones. And I'll take the Falcons -2
on
the road.
Yeah, and that defense of the Falcons is playing just well enough, I think. I like Atlanta on the road in this one to cover. What'd you say? You're showing 2? Yeah.
2.
I'll take Atlanta.
Redskins -2.5 at home against the Vikings. The Vikings in a free fall. I'll take the Redskins.
I'll take the Redskins as well too. The Minnesota offense can't seem to score points. Can they? I mean, their defense plays well, but they're just struggling mightily on offense, the Vikings are. So give me Redskins at home to cover. You got to let me start. We're picking the same ones. You got to let me start picking these games first.
Go ahead. Packers, Titans.
You showing 3 on this, right? All right. Yep. Give me the Packers. Won't have Clay Matthews in this game, but regardless, I think Green Bay rebounds in this one. Give me Aaron Rodgers on the road to cover these 3 against the Titans.
Steelers and Packers are in exactly the same situation. They're both in a bit of trouble. This is a big game for the Packers too. The Titans have surprised people. They're a fun team to watch, believe it or not, now, and pound the ball. You know what? I just talked myself into taking the Titans. I was going to take the Packers, but I'll take the Titans.
All right, let's see. We got Chicago at Tampa Bay. Looks like 2.5. Is that what you're showing? The Bears favored on the road. I will take the Bears. I think Jay Cutler had a great game the other night. The Tampa Bay suffered a couple more injuries there. Give me Chicago to get another another big win here on the road. So I
Jameis needs to get it straightened out. Give me the Bucks.
All right, Miami at San Diego. Looks like
two dark horse playoff teams in the AFC. Pay attention.
Boy, San Diego at home favored by 4. I'll take Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, they're playing great offensively. Melvin Gordon's been great. Give me Chargers.
Let's see, San Francisco at Arizona, Kaepernick versus Palmer. As you would imagine, the Cardinals favored big in this one, I think 13.5. That's a lot of number right there, but I'll trust Bruce Arians will get, get them back on track here. Give me Cardinals to cover at home.
Yeah, I'll take the Cards and play in a blowout. Seattle goes to New England on Sunday night. Should be a fun one to watch. I won't get to see much of it. Seahawks getting 7.5. Is that too many, Dave?
I don't think so. They can't tackle on defense, can they? It doesn't seem. Look, I know I know their secondary is what they are, but they look vulnerable. Their offensive line just really, really shaky at times. This is in New England. Tom Brady gonna love nothing more than to dismantle Seattle in this game. So give me Brady to cover that number at home.
Yeah, it should be a good one to watch. 7.5. How about the? I'll take the Pats. Monday night, the Bengals and the Giants. The home team has won every game that has ever been played between these two teams. I don't know if that's 5 or 50, but the home team's won every time. The Giants are getting a point at home. I think we'll see the Bengals' second-half surge start here with Tyler Eifert involved. Give me the Bengals -1.
The Giants. Say what you will about the Giants, they're not getting the sacks and kind of turnovers that they probably want on a defensive side of the ball. But as a whole, their defense isn't playing bad. I'll go ahead and think that might be the difference in this game. Defense just not playing bad. Will be my excuse for taking Eli Manning and the Giants to beat the Bengals at home.
All right. Well, before we make our Steeler pick, remember Steeler Nation mortgage rates are near all-time lows. And if you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or refinance, contact Craig Oxane from First Advantage Mortgage. Lifelong Steeler fan, Pittsburgh native, Craig's a nationally recognized lender that love the opportunity to help you out. You can call Craig today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. You can email him at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Hey, it's that time of year, right? Right into the holiday season. Get yourself a new house. NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. All right, Dave, I have picked against the Steelers exactly one time this year. And that was home against New England. And I am loath to do it, but we are going to have a very interesting last 7 weeks of the season. The injury report may on Sunday make me change my mind here, but I'm going with my usual 30-20 score. But I'm going to put the Cowboys on the winning side.
Yeah, David, I mean, everything that I've seen so far, I mean, there's no reason to think that regardless of how the Steelers, it comes down to can Roethlisberger and that offense keep up and keep this game close in the fourth quarter and pull it out at the end. I think that's the only way that the Steelers win. I hope I'm totally, totally wrong with this, and I hope we're talking about Steelers win, obviously, on Monday. I don't see it. I think the Steelers maybe make this one close at the end, but I have this one Dallas 27, Steelers 24.
All right. Well, we'll come back on Monday and get a chance to get at it. We had Bob on just for a bit on Wednesday. He will be on my show today at 5:30 if you want to get some more Cowboys talk. So ESPN Pittsburgh, 970 AM, 106.3 FM, or most easily on the iHeart radio app.
All right, folks, we certainly do appreciate you listening and tuning in regularly as you do. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. com. Send us your first half MVP on offense and defense, and no, you can't include Jordan Berry in either one of those. So do that. Send it to theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to donate to the cause, you can go to SteelersDepot.com and click on the donate button in the top navigational bar on the site. And we appreciate everybody listening, and we'll talk to everybody on Wednesday or on Monday.
As always, thanks for listening to The Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.